Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, welcome back. It's another week of the Falcon Cast Podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We took a little bit of a break last week with the bye, but we are back here in week seven. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox. How was your bye week?
Great. Lots of nothing. That was kind of my goal.
Yeah.
How was yours?
Same. A lot of nothing. Whole lot of nothing.
I watched some games on Sunday.
Yep. I sat and I watched 8 hours or so of NFL Red Zone.
Oh, okay. Red Zone.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something on the History Channel.
No. Normally, yes. Yeah. But I've, because we're never home to watch games or anything like that. So when we are, it's kind of different. And I had heard about this NFL Red Zone thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. I hear
it's something else.
It's pretty cool.
It's like the Cliff Notes version of NFL games.
It's the best part. It's the best part of every game, essentially.
Yep.
So
that's what I did.
Speaking of the Red Zone.
That's your attempt at a segue?
Yeah. It's pretty much been the story this year.
All right.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, certainly the Falcons getting off to that 1-4 start, get into the bye week. Now you get into week seven, and things get interesting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town. The Falcons will host the Buccaneers at 1 p.m. This Sunday. And what are your impressions, sir?
Well, it's an 0-5 team against a 1-4 team. So that's...
And who would have thought at the beginning of the season that would be...
In both cases. I mean, the Bucs have... They have a lot of talent, and they've had some moments, but I think they struggled down the stretch last year, and some things kind of just got off the rails there for them. And we know what's happened recently with their offense. The quarterback, Josh Freeman, who we learned on Wednesday is going to start for the Vikings, ironically enough. So two different teams that he's started for now. But, this defense is yet another one that's tough on paper, and they've got some playmakers, guys like Darrell Revis, and that's going to be make it for another tough day on offense for the Falcons.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is like that's the thing that sticks out to me as well is their defense, particularly their secondary. I mean, they've got a really good defensive line, but their secondary, you add Revis in the offseason, you add Deshaun Golson in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Mike Barron, excuse me, having a heck of a second year. Mm-hmm. So you've got some of these players who certainly pose a challenge in the secondary. And when you're talking about a team that is without one of its top wide receivers in Julio Jones for the season, and then Roddy White is banged up as well, recovering from an ankle injury, and then, of course, the hamstring injury from the Jets game, it's kind of a challenge for those guys, Harry Douglas, Drew Davis, Kevin Cohn, now Brian Rubisky to come in and try to pick up that slack. It's going to be a little more challenging, I think, than people are giving it credit for.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job this year. Speaking of Red Zone, like we were just saying, ranked third in the league. A little over 35% red zone efficiency, meaning they've kept opponents out of the end zone pretty well, allowing 20 points a game as well. There's so much going on in Tampa. I think that defense gets overlooked a little bit.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think that's an aspect that I think if you were to poll Falcons fans, I'd like to think they feel pretty comfortable about this game. And we're not trying to, sway anyone here, but I think you make a good point that the defense is better than maybe they're given credit for, and with a team that's got the injuries, especially on the outside on offense that the Falcons do, then could be really, really tough.
That's what I'm expecting at this point. And we know that division games, for whatever reason, and traditionally this is just – one of those things you can go back and look is that it doesn't matter what your opponent's record is. I mean, they're always really hard-fought games.
Absolutely.
And I think it just brings out a different element in these football teams when they're facing that familiar foe.
That familiar foe, and then you add in the fact that, like I said before, you know, the Falcons 1-4, Tampa's 0-5. I wouldn't say that they're desperate for a win, but maybe that's probably not an unreasonable statement, desperate for a win. I heard some media down in the open locker room session today kind of referring to it as a grudge match, one of those things. It's like, you know, the winner is going to leave town or the loser leaves town, kind of one of those kind of matches. So it's maybe shapes up like, you know, the loser of this game is, you know, maybe out of the picture altogether in the NFC South.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to that point. And so these are the things you got to be thinking about if you're the Falcons, because now is the crucial time. And we talked about it a little bit in the last podcast a couple of weeks ago. You've got some very, very tough competition coming up here in the second half mm-hmm. of the season. Not only tough competition, but you've got to go on the road again. Yeah. You know, you've enjoyed kind of this month of being at home and having that home field advantage. It hasn't turned out well for you, though. And who would have thought that as well? The Falcons traditionally very good inside the Georgia Dome. So you're in a situation now that's just going to get harder and harder as you go, and you really need to get this win to get going back on the right track. And certainly with injuries and things like that, I mean, the odds are stacked against you. Mm-hmm. But I think a win over Tampa, a win cures everything. Oh, it doesn't matter who it's over. And I think Tampa's better than its 0-5 record. I think the Falcons are better than their 1-5 or 1-4 record, excuse me. And so we'll see what happens. But I think it's going to be a lot harder game than people are anticipating.
Yeah, you know, if you're comparing variables that go in one way or the other for each team, you know, being at home certainly helps. But again, who would have imagined the Falcons would lose that stretch of home games the way that they have? So, but I think that's always going to be a factor that plays in their favor. So, on a week where they really really need a win, it's nice to know that they're going to be at home this week.
Exactly. All right. So. Let's keep that rolling, and let's get into our stat of the week, the Irish version of our popular segment, stat of the week, right?
Absolutely. It's very popular. I hear about it all the time.
Do you? Okay. All right. Well,
but this is a great stat.
This is a great stat.
It's a very good one.
So we talked a little bit about the Tampa defense, but, you know, getting into the Tampa offense
right.
a little bit, it's a little different story over there. Certainly you've got some playmakers. You've got Doug Martin. Mm-hmm. You've got Mike Williams. You've got Vincent Jackson. But this guy that's throwing to him,
yeah.
Mike Glennon, is a guy that not a lot of people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we found interesting was just the huge discrepancy in scoring between both of these teams. So the Bucks, to this point through their five games, have scored 64 points this season through this point, fewest in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The Falcons, however, have scored 122 points during their first five games. So you talk about that and you think, wow, the Bucks must be getting blown out.
Right.
While they certainly have suffered some pretty sizable defeats, they're kind of close.
Yeah, it's been a lot closer than some of their perceptions. You know, last week, 31-20, they lost to the Eagles, but of those five games that they've played, you know, the average is 7.4 points. So that's three of those games were decided by 3 points or less. One was decided by 1 point, one was decided by two, one was decided by three. Those are close games.
Very close.
It sounds to me like that offense isn't really doing what they want them to do, what they're capable of, even, you know. And that's maybe a product of a young quarterback, and he had a pretty nice week last week, so he's starting to improve a little bit as well. That defense is keeping them in the games, and that's kind of what is concerning, I think, from a Falcons perspective this week. You know, but the Falcons have been in some close games too, though. Some of those losses, I think it was, I got 4.5 points, a little mm-hmm. over 4.5 points was the average margin in those games, those losses. So it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, I think you know, you think about these two teams at the beginning of the season, and you thought, okay, well, these two teams could be contenders for the NFC South title, and certainly that hasn't proven to be the case yet. But if it's ever going to be proven or shown or at least get on the right track, this would be a game for it. That's why I expect both of these teams to really come out really with their best effort. You mentioned the word desperation. I don't think it's desperation. I think it might be more for one side than the other, but I really feel like both of these teams are going to come in like it's a must win.
Yeah.
And they're going to put their best foot forward, and I really feel like some of these little things like this, our stat of the week, mm-hmm. could end up coming into play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
That word desperation, like you said, is a little bit odd, and I don't think we would hear players refer to it as a, you know, we're desperate for a win. That sounds a little strange, but it is, you know, must win and desperation, I think, are kind of the same thing. So they're in desperate positions at this point in the season. So you're right. I think these guys and they had their bye week 2 weeks ago. So the Bucks did. So they've had some time to kind of figure out, you know, what's going wrong and get it together. So you're right. I think both teams do come in with, you know, that must-win attitude and really need to put it on the line this week.
Well, here's a bit of an addendum to the stat of the week.
Okay.
And, you know, the Falcons have scored 58 more points than the Buccaneers. Most of that has come in the second half. The Bucs seem to be a definitive first-half team with 51 of their points coming in the first half. They've scored – now, this is going to be somewhat of a relief to Falcons fans, who I know have suffered the frustrations of third quarter woes. The Buccaneers have scored 0 points in the third quarter this year.
Relief.
And and they've scored only 13 in the fourth. So certainly a team that may come out and start out strong, but they have second half problems of their own. So
we'll get this, you know.
Oh,
yeah. Oh. We're just gonna keep.
Pile it on.
Keep addendum.
How do you say it? Addendum.
I have no idea.
Addendum.
7 touchdowns this season. 5 of them have been receiving touchdowns. Only one as a rusher,
which is surprising.
Yeah, considering Doug Martin's in the backfield, and we saw what he did last season.
And what's funny about Martin is that he had that great first year, and I think he's. I don't want to say he's taken a step back, because he certainly hasn't. He's still an explosive back. He's still a dangerous back, especially for a Falcons run defense that has struggled in the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But he's only averaging about 3.5 yards a game compared to last year when he was closer to 5 yards gain. So I think he's a little frustrated by that, and I think he's going to want to run well against this team. But it's really surprising to think about the discrepancies, especially when you look at their quarterback issue this year with going with a new guy, going with Glennon, getting rid of Freeman, and you think that one constant is Doug Martin, and yeah. he's going to be the guy who's going to carry you through, and it just hasn't turned out that way.
Absolutely. And so, what is his nickname again?
Was it Muscle Hamster.
Muscle Hamster, yeah. We've had many a discussion about the Muscle
Hamster. Yeah.
I haven't heard him called that this year.
Not this year, but it doesn't roll off the tongue, you know?
I understand.
Like Puddin does.
Yeah, no, certainly not. Or High Top Job, for that
right.
matter.
Doesn't have that cachet for me. So, all right, well, hey, let's do some buy or sell.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's get into some buy or sell. So we buy if we like, we sell if we don't. Seems to be a mainstay here on the podcast.
Yeah.
Old buy or sell.
Some good outlandish statements here.
Outlandish, preposterous statements this year or this week that we will discuss. All right, first statement up. Kevin Cohn, he of Georgia Tech. Of only 6 receptions during his entire college career at Georgia Tech.
Hmm.
6. Why? Because yes, they run that
please
option.
Please clarify that.
Yeah, they run that option.
Who is this guy drafting these or bringing in these players?
Yeah.
So I can just hear it now. Kevin Cohn only caught 6 passes.
Well, hey, listen. That's what we're going to debate, is that can he be a suitable replacement for Julio Jones?
Mm.
And what do we think? Suitable. Let's clarify this before we get started, okay?
Okay.
Julio Jones is in a class of his own.
Yeah, this guy right here, by the way.
Yes, this guy here.
Minor.
Class of his own. When we talk about replacing a guy like that, you don't replace Julio Jones. You hope that you can at least get some of that production that he can get. So to clarify this, we're not arguing that Kevin Cohn is going to come in and be Julio Jones, right? So just putting that out there before we, I could hear the pitchforks getting pulled out on Twitter for this, but put them
after
away
after the fact,
right? Put after them away,
the game, whatever happens.
So Kevin Cohn can be a suitable replacement for Julio Jones. What are our thoughts on this?
Suitable.
That's the word. That's the operative word in this statement.
All right, I'm going to sell it.
Okay,
I'm going to sell that statement. And Kevin Cohn, kudos to Kevin Cohn, had his first catch of the of his career last week, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, against the Jets.
Big third
key,
down,
yeah, play. Key third down catch in that. I think it was in the fourth quarter. Kind of got that drive going, or kept it going, obviously on the third down. Can he be a suitable replacement for Julio? And you clarified the suitable aspect a little bit, but I think between Drew Davis, the other guy that we haven't mentioned here, but and Kevin Cohn's getting a lot of talk this week. I think it's more of a depth chart thing, but Drew Davis, between Drew Davis and Kevin Cohn, I feel like some of the production that you would maybe get from Julio can still be present. And again, we're not going to see so many of the flashy, super athletic, incredible, amazing plays that we see out of Julio week to week from these guys. But Kevin Cohn and Drew Davis have been a key part of the receiver depth. You know, they've been there just in case, and they've been huge on special teams. Drew Davis had 4 catches last season. One of them was a touchdown, 15-yard touchdown against the Eagles. Then he had a grab, a 6-yard catch, I believe it was, in the playoffs against Seattle. So he's been involved in the offense some, maybe a little more than Kevin Cohn. But I sell the fact that Kevin Cohn can be a suitable replacement. I feel like Kevin Cohn can step in and get some catches and keep things going. But I don't – he's kind of an unknown, so it's hard to say that I don't think Kevin Cohn can do some of the things Julio can do as far as from an athletic standpoint. But we just haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to – like I said, you know, seeing is believing. When I see it, I'll believe it. Otherwise, I'm going to kind of, you know – hold that back a little bit. But between Kevin Cohn and I'm a big fan of Drew Davis. Between those two guys, I feel like some of what they're going to miss from Julio, and maybe even from a Roddy perspective as well, I think that they can get kind of what they need. I'm also curious about what this offense is going to look like this week. I think it's going to look a little different, so I'm kind of curious about that as well. But I'm definitely anxious to see those two guys in these roles.
Okay, so you're selling to stay on the cautious side of things.
Yes, of course.
All right, fair enough. I'm gonna soft buy.
Soft buy.
I'm gonna soft buy also to stay on the cautious side of things. But I like Kevin Cohn for a lot of reasons, and we've watched him for 3 years now, and I think there's a reason that you know he's stuck around,
Absolutely.
Being the special teams attributes that you already mentioned. Now he's stepping in a bit into a much bigger role. Much bigger role. Now, when you talk about the depth chart and you look at things, all right, so if Roddy starts, Roddy is going to be your first wide receiver. Number two is going to be Harry. And then after that, it gets a little muddy.
Yeah, and then guys start shifting around and stuff. So
the reason we talk about Kevin Cohn in particular is because, well, to me, he's a guy who is built very similarly to Julio Jones. Julio, officially 6'3", 220 pounds. Kevin Cohn, 6'2", 216. Not a whole lot of difference there. I think when you look at their body types side by side, they're very similar. Here's one of the things that stood out to me about Kevin Cohn and still stands out to me, is his speed. He's deceptively fast, and I think that's one of the reasons why he has been so successful on special teams, is because he has that speed to get down the field, to cause some disruptions in punt plays, kickoffs, things like that. Ran in a 4.37 unofficial 40 at his Georgia Tech Pro Day, which – if had been running in the NFL Combine that year, would have been good enough for fifth best out of all players. So think about that. We're talking about a 6'2 guy who's got 4.37 speed. I think that could cause some mismatches for some defenses. And I think, like you said, we haven't really seen what Kevin can do, because what we've seen has been confined to just practice. But I think when we get into a game, I think you saw a little bit of it. I think the third down catch that he made was a product of some of that speed and some of that ability that I think has been hidden on special teams a little bit. But I feel like he's got the kind of speed that can create some separation, and he can get downfield and potentially be in position to make those plays. Now, Julio is a special type of player, and when you talk about making those big plays, the one-handed catch after getting injured, I mean, that's stuff that you can't even imagine. I'm not saying that Kevin Cohn is going to be that guy making those kinds of plays, but I think he can do enough to get a bit of separation and to ultimately provide a suitable option for Matt Ryan in the offense in Julio's absence.
And there's a – so you soft buy that, right?
Yes, I soft buy that, but for those reasons. I feel like if I'm just going to take a look at some history and take a look at kind of what he brings to the table, maybe that's a reason that he could be suitable.
That's a good stat on – or not stat, just the 4.3 mm-hmm. 40. That's impressive. I didn't know that. They bring an unknown element to the offense right now, at least, as well. Tampa's probably scrambling a little bit, wondering – how exactly do we defend these guys? We don't. There's so many unknown variables right now. You know, at running back, at receiver, with the question, whether or not Roddy's going to play, and the unknowns of Kevin Cohn and Drew Davis. There's just not a lot of film and game action on them. So, they could be, like you said, and I think that's really key, is being in position to be suitable, and I think that's not unreasonable to expect. But I think that unknown aspect, especially this week, could be helpful to the Falcons.
Sure. All right, so let's go on to our second topic here. It is quarterback Josh Freeman is gone from Tampa, so that there is absolutely nothing to worry about anymore at quarterback from the Bucs anymore.
I'll sell that statement.
So will I.
Yeah, figured. You know, like I said earlier, last week he had a pretty nice game, 273 mm-hmm. yards, 60% completion percentage.
Yeah,
that's a good number. Over the course of the season, they've been doing what they're ranked 32nd, 190 passing yards, but that number has improved a little bit. Like I said, with those stats, he comes from NC State. He was a big time passer. I think he had he was considered one of those guys with a big, strong arm downfield. And we've seen some of what Vincent Jackson's been able to do from him, from those passes in that offense. So, hey, we saw what a rookie did 2 weeks ago with the Jets. I don't think we can count those guys out anymore.
Mm-mm, no. Just in seeing Glennon, I mean, I've seen some things that you definitely have to be worried about with him. And as you mentioned, some of his stats, he completed 60% last week. He's at 58% completion percentage all year. Mm-hmm. Three touchdowns to three interceptions. I think, that kind of comes with the territory. We saw that Geno Smith had a lot of interceptions as well, but certainly not with the in the game against the Falcons. So I think there's enough there, especially when you talk about the weapons that he has at his disposal, to still make him dangerous and a guy that you need to still be watching out for. I think pressure on the quarterback is going to be huge. If you can get to him, if you can rattle him, if you can hit him a couple of times, it may make him start to hurry a little bit. It may make him start to see some ghosts. And I think that's hugely important to getting the confidence taken away from a rookie quarterback.
And that's a really good point. They've that offensive line, the Tampa's offensive line, has allowed 11 sacks this season, but that's not a huge number, and the Falcons have allowed 9. Mm-hmm. There's some teams like we've seen, like last week, the Raiders allowed 10, so that skews their numbers significantly. But I know just from reading stuff down in Tampa, seems like they're they're disappointed with the way that offensive line has played. They've had some injuries as well, so I think that's quarterback pressure is you know, going to be one of those keys, those must wins, those must haves each week. But I think there might be an opportunity, especially for a guy like OC, who might not be a bad call for Most Valuable Falcon much maybe later in this podcast. But, you know, I think that's a really good point. And I think those quarterbacks, especially young guys, I think seem to be the most affected by that consistent pressure. So that's obviously going to be something that they want to do.
Sure. All right, let's get into our last topic here. The big man, Levine Toilolo, yes, is going to be the go-to red zone threat for the Falcons the rest of the season. Buy or sell?
Why don't you go first on that?
All right. All right. I will go first.
All right.
I'm gonna buy it. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to say that this is probably the reason why you bring in a 6'8" tight end.
Makes sense.
It does, and I think that's the reason I'm going with it. Toilolo has, I think, 5 catches on the year, and 2 of which have been touchdowns. And of
course, yes, that is correct.
Should have been one more. Mm-hmm. He let, you know, kind of fall through his hands, but
yeah.
He's certainly learned, and he's made up for it with 2 red zone touchdowns in the past 2 games. So for me, when I look at it, and you got Julio's out, Roddy is hobbled. Tony, now whatever teams are going to do with Tony, I think whatever they have been doing with Tony, I think is going to be amplified now that Julio's mm-hmm. not on the field.
Right.
So you're going to have to, when you get in the red zone, you're going to have somebody to go to. And I kind of feel like Toilolo could be that guy at 6'8" that you just let him, you know, play basketball with, do
yeah.
a couple of, you know, opening tip-offs with him, just throw it up to him, let mm-hmm. him go get it, and see what happens, and just hope he comes down with it. I really feel like that was the reason why he was brought here.
Yeah.
And now that you're kind of forced into that situation with, you know, your limits on offense at this point, it seems like it seems like go-to might not be a bad idea for
it's
him.
Interesting. Like, I'm thinking about the wording, and
we often get caught up in
consider so something. Many things about these simple sentences. First of all, I'm thinking go-to red zone threat. Okay, first of all, you're right, 6'8", he's a red zone threat just, you know, in the bio.
Just by showing up.
Yeah, just by being listed on the roster, he's a red zone threat. So there's that. Go-to is a different aspect of this. Now, this is funny. If we were to, you know, and we've done this a couple of times, you know, if we were to rewind life to 8 weeks ago, whenever that, I don't even know when that was, but sometime around training camp, and we were to say in week 7 we were going to have a discussion about, you know, the new go-to red zone threat, Levine Toilolo, we would have, oh my goodness, what has happened? What is going to happen?
Yeah.
But that's the situation. You know, this is something that he did at Stanford a lot, too. He didn't have many catches, and we've written about this on LandFalcons.com a lot, and I don't know the stats anymore, but it's not unlike the stat you just mentioned, 2 touchdown catches in just 5 catches this season. It was really similar to that at Stanford. He was a backup, but he played, you know, a lot of 2 tight end sets and all that stuff with guys like Zach Ertz and Colby Fleener. So these are names that we've heard of. So in terms of that, he's used to that role. And I asked him about that earlier this week, and he said, "Yeah, that's all I've ever known is being part of 2 tight ends." You know, so coming in with Tony, it's not that unlike what he's used to. Hey, if the shoe fits, as my dad always says, you wear it.
Exactly. Dads are rarely wrong.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'll buy that statement.
All right. We got 2 buys.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That's the first time
we've agreed. Levine Toilolo. We need a nickname for this guy.
We'll come up with
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll come up with
okay.
one.
Okay.
All right. So that wraps up Buy or Sell. Let's get into Most Valuable Falcon here as we wrap up the show. 2 weeks ago, we will refresh your memory. We chose our players for the Jets game. I chose Desmond Trufant. He had 3 tackles, 1 pass defensed. Matt Ryan for Daniel, 36 of 46, 319, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Clearly you win that one.
Yeah, but it's such an empty victory.
I know it is. It is. We were actually tied 2-2
mm-hmm.
Heading into week 5, so you now have the lead at 3-3-2.
Yes.
So We have some picking to do.
Yeah, this is a grudge match this week.
Right, and 2 weeks ago, you wrote an open letter to Matt Ryan.
I did.
It was very sweet, very heartfelt.
Yeah, it didn't work. Well, I guess it worked. You know what? It did work because we talked. I said, listen, from the 20s through the 20s, you're a surgeon. Inside, yep. You know, inside the red zone, something's got to change. We got to fix that 80% last week. So that's really good.
Yeah.
So, hey, maybe that did help. So we got to do something like that this week, right?
Right. Okay. So, but I already said last week that I would be doing a haiku.
A haiku. So, yes.
So, for my player of the week, this week I wrote a haiku. So
I cannot wait.
Most of the morning, I spent time researching haikus.
Yeah, I was going to ask, can you refresh my memory on the syllabatic?
Yes, it's three lines, okay, yes. 17 total syllables.
Okay.
5, 7, 5. That's what makes up a haiku. That's what Google
five,
told me.
5, 7, 5.
If I'm wrong,
that sounds
I'm
really
wrong,
right.
And, huh?
That sounds right.
It sounds really right.
Yes. I took a poetry class in college.
Did you really?
Yes.
I could have used you. So I wrote a haiku to...
I would have just Googled it.
Huh?
I would have just Googled it.
Oh, we just Googled it. Yeah, Google is your friend.
Yes, always.
All right. So I spent the morning becoming a haiku professional.
Okay.
And so I'm going to announce my most valuable Falcon pick for this week in the form of a haiku.
Can't wait.
So remember, 5 syllables, 7 syllables, 5 syllables.
All right.
Are we ready? Is the world ready for this?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Defenders shudder. Tony makes the big catches. Wins the day for Jay.
Nice. All right. That's good work. Good work.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's nice, Jay. Good job. He wins the day for Jay.
Right. Top that, sir.
I'm not prepared to do that this week.
Oh, okay.
But, hey, next week, we've mentioned sonnets. We've mentioned limericks.
Limericks, yes.
I think we...
Interpretive dance.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
Interpretive dance.
Listen, I'm not a dancer.
I remember.
But I have danced for AtlantaFalcons.com.
I remember.
At one time in our careers together here with this team. But that is the last time I will do that.
We got to have that video laying around somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's somewhere.
Somewhere. But all right. Well, there was my Tony haiku.
All right.
So Tony Gonzalez is mine.
Yes.
I thought that
clearly,
was clear.
Clearly.
Clearly.
Tony Gonzalez is one of the few individuals that you can call by his first name.
That's right.
And everyone right. knows who you're talking about. All right. I'm going to go with Asante Samuel.
Okay.
I don't have I got nothing clever this week.
Perhaps a freestyle rap.
Oh, jeez. No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Nope. Mr. Pick Six likes his rookie quarterbacks, I think. And we're talking about a guy that's not quiet on the field. But has been a little quiet on the field this year. It's about time for the defense to make a play and do something to turn the tide and change a game, change the season, something like that. And I remember back to last season against Oakland here in the Georgia Dome, and that was a game the Falcons were expected to win, and it was much closer than anyone anticipated. And Asante Samuel stepped up and picked one off and took it a long way, mm-hmm. all the way to the house. So I think the Georgia Dome, I think the Atlanta Falcons fans, I think Asante, I think the defense, heck, the offense, could use a play like that. And Asante Samuel is going to be that man to do that. So Mr. Pick Six, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. He's going to get a pick six this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep,
that's big.
Yeah. And I'm going to go.
That's a big.
It's going to put me at 4-2.
Okay.
On the season.
Mr. Gonzalez.
Yeah, yep.
Mr. Reliable.
Yeah, well, he's now... We should ask him tomorrow, or on Thursday, if he's ever had a haiku written about him.
I don't know. Maybe I'll save this and present it to him.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. But, well, there you have it. So I've got Tony. Daniel's got Asante if you're keeping score at home. And there are players of the week.
Yes.
Most valuable Falcons for this coming game.
Absolutely.
We will see you out there.
All right.